This is a Crowd podcast.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Scotty Unfamous. Hi, Reed.
Hi,
how are
Hi,
you?
Florence.
I miss you. You're so far away.
Oh, I miss you too. I'm so far away.
We used to see each other all the time now, and now you're not. Can't see you physically.
I know. And we saw each other so much, like, just before I left as well. So it's, like, from, like, everything to nothing
at all. I'm going to go through withdrawal, Florence. You got to give me my fix. I can only see you in, like, 2D form now.
Yeah, I know. Oh. But seriously, how have things been?
Things have been good. I've definitely had, like, a bit of a 180 with, like, realizing that my mental health was quite all over the place. And then also this weekend feeling like, okay, right, now it's time to do something about it. Especially when it's just like constantly running in the background. You don't notice until you're like, holy shit, I'm having a lot of negative thoughts again. This ain't cool.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you have negative thoughts or deal with mental health issues, it's such a normal thing to think about that you don't think it's an issue or a problem. You're just like, oh yeah, everyone thinks about negative stuff. No, they fucking don't.
Right?
No. No, people think positively, and it's only when you're getting negative thoughts, like constantly negative intrusive thoughts, or when you're thinking about bad things, that's when you need to change where your mental health's at. And something needs to fucking change.
What were you doing this weekend to help
her? So I ended up seeing one of my best buds, Nina, and she really, really reset a lot of good therapy practices in motion, you know, reminded me that my thought processes are going from like 0 to 60, and I'm worrying so much about the future that I'm not enjoying the present. And that's something that like all of us are taught during therapy, and something that we really forget about. It's so easy to freak out about the future and like, oh, but what if I do this, and what if this means this, and what if that happens, and like, that's not fucking helpful. That's just actually like ruining the life that you have now. And you can't predict the fucking future. No one can. It doesn't matter how much you think it's gonna happen. Like, believing that that might happen isn't fact, it's not truth. So I just got caught up in my head and over-obsessing about negative stuff in the future, overthinking everything, and was like, okay, reality check. I need to ground myself, get myself back into today, in the present, and think about the now and take things day at a time. And it was really helpful. It kind of like...
A day at a time.
It kind of like gave me like a massive like a bitch slap across the face. I'm like, oh shit, like remind yourself.
Bitch
it
slap.
Was literally like that. I was like, fuck, you're so right. Mm-hmm. And everything that therapy teaches us, you're sitting there going like, but I know this. And of course we know this. Mm-hmm. We know this deep down, but we just need another person to go, no, actually, like, you do need to repeat these steps. Because we forget. We forget, like, all the good things that we're taught and all the good things we do for ourselves. And it creeps up on us. So, yeah, I'm feeling really good and really positive this week.
Oh, amazing.
Yay! Like, what will be. Whatever happens in the future, happens in the future. Just fucking enjoy the now. You know, like, whether or not you need to think you could die tomorrow. Like, whatever your thought process is enjoy now. And that's really fucking hard to do, but we can do it.
It is hard. I've been thinking about that a lot recently. Just the fact that, like, I think especially with like COVID and stuff, death has become such like a normal thing in our lives, and we really do need to make the most of what we're doing currently, because you just don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, no idea.
Which actually leads me on to a little spontaneous tale.
Oh, I like this. Stories by Florence.
Stories by Florence. So I thought this podcast recording was at 9 o'clock. So I had, it's 10 o'clock here, 10 a.m. now. And so I was like ready, did my makeup, I was like dressed, all ready to go. And then you actually thought it was at 9
as well.
I did as well.
I don't know what's
And then you were like, oh shit. It's actually at 10. I was like, oh fuck, like a whole hour now to kill. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to pop downstairs, go to the coffee shop at the end of the road and get a matcha. And I'd been texting this guy on Field who wanted to meet up for a date. And we were like literally just talking this morning and figured out that he lives like literally around the corner from where I'm staying.
Nice.
And I was just like, oh yeah, I was just about to jump on a podcast recording, but it's actually in an hour. So I'm just going to go get a matcha and then I've got my podcast. And he was like, well, why don't you want, like, do you want to meet up for like a spontaneous walk
yes,
or something?
Yes, I love
And
that.
I was like, actually, that would be great content. So yes.
Not even like you actually want to go on the date. It's just for the content.
Great content. Great no, content. He was buff. Yeah. Like, I thought he was really hot from his pictures, and we hadn't really had like a lot of conversations, so I was like a little bit like skeptical as to like whether we were gonna like actually get on mm-hmm. in person. But yeah, I thought, why not? So I walked down to like near where he lives, and it's like super sunny, like really hot, warm. I'm literally just like sitting like in this little black dress. But yeah, we met up and we just had a walk literally between 9 and 10 a.m. in the morning, just walked around in the sunshine in Toronto. And he was really cute.
Nice. I'm such really a supporter cute. Of like spontaneous dates, not talking so much unless there's something you're specifically looking for. But yeah, not talking so much and just yeah. going, just being like, yeah, do you fancy meeting up for a drink tonight? So good, because it doesn't allow you to get nervous and panic too much. Like, you could ruin your whole.
I wasn't
yeah,
nervous.
Amazing. You could ruin your whole week by being like, yeah, let's have a drink on Friday. And then you're just shitting yourself up until that point. But the spontaneous, like, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a drink today. Ah, oh, massive supporter. Well done. Yes, go you, Florence.
Thanks. Because usually I am one of those people on dating apps that chats with people yeah. for like a little bit too mm-hmm. long, and then I get my hopes up about people, and then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it feels less organic well. The more you chat beforehand.
Also, just to remind everyone, I am living next to a construction site, and it's particularly loud today. So if you hear any like beeping, clanking, it's the construction. Can you hear
don't
it?
Lie. It's just all your sex toys just having a party.
I've just left them all on vibrate in my room. Like,
I don't know what that is. Fucking hell.
Oh my god. And also, I went on the date that I told you all about last
yeah,
week,
buddy,
and things did get a little bit sexy.
Oh my god, divulge please, if you can.
So first of all, he took me to a really nice spot in Toronto called Cherry Beach, and you can see like the whole city there. So we kind of watched it from like sunset to like completely darkness, and like the whole city was lit up. It was an amazing view. So, and I really like it when people do that on dates. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm gonna show you something cool.
yeah like that, this is the cool spot, come have a look. Yeah
mm-hmm. yeah, he was really sweet. We had great chats, and you know how I was feeling last week? I was feeling very horny, so I don't know if I was really getting like the vibe that I was like, I want to fuck you vibe, but I was so horny that I was like, you know what? Like, why don't I just go back to his? And then so I did. I went back to his, and we were just chilling, drinking some more wine on his sofa, and then we started making out, and the making out was okay. Like, it was good. He wasn't like an amazing kisser, but it was still fun. I enjoy mm-hmm. kissing. But I really was missing that like that oomph, that like
that connection,
that chemical
yeah.
pull, that yeah, the connection. And he was like, oh, can I go down on you? And I was like, sure, yeah, why not?
That's a pretty reasonable question there,
right? And I was like, that might be quite nice. So he did, he went down, and oh my god, he fucking blew my mind shit. With his oral skills.
That's really fucking hard to do, like the first time you go down on someone. So hard,
right? Because you don't know their yeah. body. But he knew my body somehow.
Shit.
And yeah, I had like a mind-blowing orgasm, and I was also just shook as well, because I wasn't expecting it from him, because I didn't have that like the connection, the vibe. So I was just thinking, oh, this is probably just gonna be like mm-hmm.
all right, because
also it was like mm-hmm. I don't think I was feeling like fully comfortable and relaxed mm-hmm. with him, because I didn't have that connection. But then I had this great orgasm, and I had that thing where I was like, I'm kind of done, but I guess I have to do something back.
Such a
for
stereotype
you.
Of a bloke, I swear. I've come, I'm done now.
But then, yeah.
We've all been
I
there.
I mean, usually I would be,
there.
I think I would be up for going more if I was really attracted to him. Mm-hmm. And like, also when I say attracted to him, it's not like he wasn't attractive. He was a very attractive mm-hmm. guy, but I personally just didn't have that chemical attraction
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, not your flavor.
No, but we had sex because I was like, I can't not. Because I just felt really rude. It was like bad sex etiquette or something to like not have sex
mind.
After he gave me amazing oral sex.
I mean, that's not bad sex etiquette, but I get it. It's almost like you can't just like take all the pleasure and then leave.
Yeah, but the thing is, if I had gone down on someone for like half an hour, gave them an amazing blowjob and they had this great orgasm, I would be like, if they didn't do anything back to me, I'd be like, what
yeah.
the
yeah.
fuck?
Well, I'm never seeing you again. See ya. Bye.
Anyway, we had sex, but it really did make me realize that I need to have like a connection with someone, at least an attraction to someone to enjoy sex. And it was kind of lasting a little bit too long. And I was like, fuck, like, why is this taking so long? You know, when you're just like really trying to make them come and like you want them to come basically so it's over.
Yeah.
This is
and
really
it's, maybe he has in his mindset as well, like, no, I can't come now because like, you know, she has a sex podcast, so I need to last long and like, you know, show how good I am.
I think that he had it in his head that he had to like make me come again, or he wanted to keep going, because I ended up saying something at one point like, oh, like, I want you to come or whatever. Like, I can't remember mm-hmm. exactly what I said. Something hopefully a bit more sexy than that.
No, that's pretty hot.
And he was just like, have you been fucked enough?
Oh, bless him. You probably just like, yeah,
I was like, I want you to come. And then it wrapped up. So he obviously was like trying to like last longer and like make it. And I was in my head, I was like, when is this gonna be over?
Yeah,
and he was like, need to keep going.
I mean, like, fucking kudos to him. That's very admirable.
Right?
Nice one. And I'm sure that he will excite and entertain and some other women, some point, other people.
Exactly.
That is gonna be amazing. But when your head's not in it, your head's not in it.
Yeah, he ended up walking me home,
oh,
and
gentlemen.
He did that thing where he asked in person if I wanted to like see him again and hang out again and have sex again. And I was like, obviously I have to say, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
how do I say that in person? You can't ask that in person, because you can't just say to someone's face like, actually, I don't think I want to hang out with you again.
See, that's tough. Like, I think that's really dangerous to ask on the date, because you're not getting a truthful answer. You are often or not always going to get a yes, and then they feel forced into it or have to come up with an excuse to say no later.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
well, the next day I wrote him a text just being like, I had an amazing time. It was a really great date. So nice to meet you. That kind of lingus was brain explosion emoji, drooling emoji. And but for me, I don't think I was feeling that like connection. I'd be up for hanging out again, like just as friends, if you want to hang out. But yeah, it wasn't for me. And I got a really nice reply back. He was just like, yeah, that's totally fine. I'm looking for more romantic connections at the moment. But like, if I do have any time before you leave, we can hang out. Which we probably
nice. Won't. Yeah, that's the mature way to handle the situation for sure. Yeah, good on you both. My exciting update. Oh my god. So, you know, I've always said I'd never enjoy like love making or like the slow and sensual sex.
You did.
So because of what's going on with like my vagina area and the endometriosis, the potential endometriosis, we're having to rethink the way that we fuck. I mean, I have always liked fast-paced, hard, deep, nasty, non-consensual, rough sex. That's what gets my mind off. That's what gets my body off. And that's just the way it is. And this is why Sam is so perfect, because he's a little fucking freak like me. But we can't fuck like we used to, because one, it hurts, and two, I fucking bleed everywhere, which is just long and annoying and uncomfortable. And it's not just like the pain during sex, it's the pain afterwards, like the days after. It feels like mad stomach, like period cramps. It's just ridiculous. So We've been trying to figure out ways on having sex that is still enjoyable. And because I, you know, it's hurt so much that I've been scared about having sex and I've not wanted to have sex because I'm like, but it's going to hurt. So we've, yeah, had to relearn that. And I, in my mind, I still can't really get over longs, like long and sensual. But Sam is a fucking miracle worker and he's making it work. He's making it work so well and he's still able to put...
Good on, right? Sam.
He's a good lad. He's still able to put elements of what I enjoy of, like, you know, like the degradation, humiliation, the dirty talk, the...
What a fucking trooper.
With the slow and sensual, which is fucking great. Like, my mind, I'm still there. So, yeah, of course, I'm still getting elements of, like, oh, just fucking pound me. Like, I just want to be pounded until I cry. But we can't do that. So I'm...
Slow and sensual is fucking amazing in my books, but I understand that it's not your cup of tea. Yeah. But it's good, right?
I mean, I'm exploring different areas, and I've always been interested in tantric, but being like, nah, that's not for me because it's like super slow. I could see myself liking tantric now because of how fucking slow, and it's almost like the slower you go.
I would have never.
Right? Would have never. Reed, are you okay? Are you okay?
Are you okay over there? Is this because I've gone? Is this because I've left
you? My vagina is in crisis mode and it's like, oh, okay, what ways can I, like, you know, not miss Florence? Let's have tantric sex. I think about you when I fuck.
Do the things that Florence would enjoy.
Just to feel closer to you. So yeah, that's an interesting turn of events. Like enjoying really slow and very sensual. I mean, I say sensual, it's not really. I mean, okay, sensual, physically sensual, but like filthy dirty talk, if that makes sense.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing like where this is going to evolve to. Well, we should probably get ready to introduce our guest. Yes. Shakira Scott.
Baby.
Let's bring
Scotty
her on.
Scotty Unfamous. I can't wait.
Holy shit.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shakira, it's so nice to have you on.
It's so nice to have, like, be on with you guys as well. Like,
I feel like I've seen you, like, really recently. I feel like you're, like, one of my closest friends because I follow you on social media. And it's like, I know Scotty, but, like, I haven't seen her in so long. But she's, like, she's one of my closest friends, right?
I swear Instagram does that weird shit to people. Like, Instagram, TikTok, because it's just, it's so personable. You literally just feels like that you're being talked to like a mate. Yeah, it can really fuck with people's minds. It's that, what is it, parasocial friendship? I think it's called.
Oh yeah, I heard of that. Yeah, the whole thing was like you kind of get like over familiar with like people that you've like never met. Yeah, they're my buddy. I know everything.
If it was
about
like a celebrity walking in the street, be like, oh my god, there's that person. I can never talk to them. But like an influencer, on the other hand, everyone's like, hey, suck on my toes. Like they love it.
Literally.
So for everyone out there who doesn't know who you are, please tell our curious fuckers a little bit about yourself.
Hi, curious fuckers. All right, so yeah, my name is Scotty Unfamous and I am basically an award-winning erotic romance author and I label myself like a sexfluencer, the sexfluencer, who is here to teach you how to live your best motherfucking whole life. Like, I'm just very much about embrace everything that you feel is for you and maybe a little more if you want to, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no shame in your whole game.
Oh, I love
that's a good tagline. I should add that in.
Wow, so good. No shame in your whole game. That's like a tattoo right there. And then I think I need that as like, you know, tramp stamp for sure.
Because you used to be on the Laid Bare podcast and then you went off onto your own like solo journey.
Right, so like my journey started like, oh god, it's over 10 years ago now, isn't it? Right, so I started YouTube in like what, 2010 maybe?
Whoa.
Like, yeah, like ages ago. And I was doing something called Swear Down TV, and it's kind of like general like pop culture, but like sex and relationship stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And then that same year, I decided to get into my erotic writing more because I wanted to find a way to kind of like bring eroticism mostly like to the black community, but like to because I write very flowery. I'm like, oh, the essence of the sunlight and shit like that. So I wanted to find a way to like frame the filth in a way that it was like, oh, but this is classy. Do you know what I mean? Even though like I'm very like I'm a sailor. And so yeah, as my journey progressed, obviously the book got made into a stage play, and then it was a web series, and then I was like in like Teen Vogue and Complex and shit, and I was like, oh, okay, like this is cool. And then I think the more that I kind of was writing, it's like, okay, I can build an empire from this, because this isn't something that I ever saw myself doing, you know, kind of like fell into it. Then I remember I returned to YouTube and I started doing like Scottish dramas, so people would like ask me sex questions and stuff. But yeah, I was just always constantly talking about sex. I was always really interested in it. Then when the podcast opportunity came about, I was like, oh yeah, like, this is right up my alley. Like it fits in my brand. Why the fuck not? Like I like talking about dicks. So yeah, and then I think around that time as well, was it when, I think it was just before I started the podcast, I started doing the product reviews and stuff on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Changed my direction completely. Some people were like, what is this? What is, I thought this was about your stories. And I'm like, so yeah, so sort of made that transition there. And then, yeah, I guess obviously like podcast happened. And then when I decided to move away from it, obviously continued doing my own stuff. Mm-hmm. And here we are today.
Here we are.
Yeah. Like full blown sex lady, like running workshops and like teaching kids in colleges, which was always really weird to me because I was like, why would you choose me to teach children?
Yeah.
That's cool though.
I sounded just a shock, not like, yeah, why are they choosing you? No, more like, yeah, amazing. Like, because this is what we need. We need people to not go down the path of like, this is school sex education and I'm going to teach you like a biology teacher. You want it to be relatable and to chat and to laugh and like,
yes,
because then that helps people open up and like learn more and listen more.
It was so funny. It was like, oh, miss. Are they calling me miss? I feel like an adult.
Yeah, shit. It's like, I am validated.
Yeah, but like they come up to me afterwards. Like, I really enjoyed that. And it was like, because, you know, kids are like really honest. Like really, even when you don't want it to be really, really honest. So to have them kind of come up to me and like, oh, can I ask you a question? And just have that kind of comfortability is something that I've always wanted to really just establish with my work. Like, to be able to take, like you said, take the sex stuff and make it fun and relatable and not so, this is a condom. Why don't you do the science stuff?
Yeah. Well, I guess this all kind of links into like what you wanted to talk to us about today, what you give a fuck about, which is like, like unlearning shame around sex. And I guess that starts at school and like starts at teaching people from that level. And it is all about making the conversation more fun and more approachable and just like normalizing it in general.
Yeah. When we were growing up, especially like in secondary school, like in my secondary school, it was like, you didn't give head. Like, only skets give head. Like, that's like hoes and shit.
Skit!
Yeah, skets. Do you remember skets?
Like, love Jersey,
like, only like those kinds of girls give head. Da, 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 da. And it was like, I remember going into college and that's when I had like my first proper sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And like my boyfriend was like, oh, like, so are you going to do it? And I was like, no, I'm not one of those girls. These times now, I'm fucking like gagging champion. Yeah. I'm like, give me the dick.
Yeah, Guinness World Book of Records. She gagged her with like 300 minutes, you know.
But it's so interesting to kind of like see the evolution of where we've come with sex. Because, you know, there was also another time where men just didn't go down and stuff. And it's like, the fact that we are removing all this stigma and shame and being able to have these conversations and to introduce these things into the bedroom is just so much better. Because the way that I felt the first time I sucked a dick, oh my god, I felt like I'd like killed someone's puppy or something. It was the worst.
Oh my
thing.
God, no.
No, I felt like the worst person. I was like, and I was doing it so crap. I was like, so this is the dick.
And oh my god, yes.
I had a bin next to me spitting out. And it
was you're joking.
It was so bad. And to look back on it now and think, like, why did we have all of these rules of what you can and can't do? And mm-hmm. now we're in a space where it's just standard. Like, if you don't suck dick, it's like, oh, they still make women like you now.
Yeah. Yeah, like, go back to medieval times, back to your little monastery. Shit.
Right? Bury that.
And it's the same with, like, the other way around, like you were saying, where mm-hmm. if there are guys aren't eating girls out, and it's just a bit like, who hurt you? Like, who did this yes. to you? Like, do you not know that eating pussy's, like, amazing?
And you please. Will get yeah. better sex from me if yeah. you do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Give a little, get a little.
There we go. So yeah, I think all the removal of shame that we are doing, I mean, I think, like, now, like, the new thing that people are still kind of, like, working around is, like, eating ass.
Yes, the rimming.
Oh, yeah, the rimming thing. Rimming, like, sensation. That's, like, the new stuff now.
And, like, it's really normal for people to eat women's asses. Like, that's really normal. That's really cool. But as soon as you flip it round and it's eating a man's ass, people just go, well, squeamy about it. Yeah. They're like,
you're not a lady.
Oh, my God, no. Yeah. And you're just like, that. Did you know that could be gay? You're eating his bum hot? Like, what? okay, now.
Even, like, that whole complex that a lot of, like, heterosexual males have had around that whole, oh, like, if I like being penetrated in my ass, then that means that I'm gay and stuff. And it's like, no,
yeah.
this is where you are yeah. going to live your best fucking whole life, all right?
Yes.
Let me touch that prostate, bitch. Get into it. I'm going to fucking milk yeah. you like a towel. Like...
That milkmaid fantasy. It's like, yes, that's it. Bend over, my little milking cow. Yeah. My little... Oh.
Actually, someone was talking to me about this the other day. Not prostate, but they were like, yeah, I really love the idea of someone milking my dick.
Oh my God, I'm super into milking porn. Super. Yes. Especially, like, dudes tied down or, like, they've got the milking table. Like, again, it's going into, like, the non-consensual realms, like, which is what turns me on. Milking machines on dudes' dicks and just, wait, like, they having them sit there. They do. It's like a big tube, and it's like a pressurized, maybe like air or something, and it will sit. It will be like a, I don't know how to explain it. It's like almost like a plastic bag, like stuck, vacuumed to their cock with this plastic tube over the top that will be like.
I'm gonna look that up.
It's so really? Hot, and wow. if there's like dudes tied up in gimp suits and being made to come, like, oh God, oh dear Lord.
You need a glass of wine, babe.
Yeah, I need a fucking glass of wine. Yeah, we Christ. Need a glass of wine. Oh, I was so into that for a long time, like forced milking. Oh, give it to me right now. Fuck me.
Have you been writing still?
Yeah. I'm actually like working on like a, well, I'm like doing it more low key, but I'm actually working on like a fantasy novel because I just really love fantasy novels.
Shit. Is it like a
obviously it's going to be
erotic?
Very, very subtle.
Yeah. Can you give us like a, like maybe like a little hint to like what kind of fantasy this is?
It's going to be about, it's going to sound so like girlish. Like, it's going to be about fairies.
Yes. No, I love it. Fairies. Yes. No one shits on Lord of the Rings for having fairies in. This is going to be hot. So.
There we go. So yeah, I'm doing like a fairy chimera kind of blend, like with the whole like war thing. But yeah,
Oh,
that's
yes.
what I'm working on at the moment, like writing. Nice.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. That is my cup of tea. Yeah. I love that as well because I think that's like, especially like sex and fantasy goes so well together.
Yes.
And like, do you ever explore that in the bedroom role play?
Do you know, I would love to, but I would always end up giggling anytime I tried to role play. I'm so bad at it. Like, I like get my partner to like dress up and do things. Like the minute he like speaks to me, I'm like, hee-hee-hee, like some idiot. And I can never keep my role, so yeah. I still need to work
even,
through that.
Like in sex education, they make it look so fucking easy. Like I love role play, but I still can't even push myself to do fantasy role play. Like that's really fucking hard to do because it's something that's so out of our comfort zone. And like now we're not only just being like, oh yeah, like teacher student or like fucking boss and colleague or whatever, it's like we have to come up with shit like, yeah, fairies or, I don't know, like goblins, orcs, I don't know, something. And,
orcs.
And you have to almost like be in the lot. I mean, I've always been like into the orc thing, so yeah.
Me too. Thank you.
I actually I have a really good tip though, I think, for getting into that without, mm-hmm. like, because sometimes I think that you need to practice outside of the bedroom before you go into the bedroom. So me and my ex, I used to be really into like the whole cowboy kind of like Western vibe fantasy, and I was playing like Red Dead Redemption on the PlayStation, so I was like really into it.
And we would like sit out like
we would sit on my patio outside my bedroom window just making up a story in our like Western American voices and I'd be like, oh sir, what are you doing on this path? Do you mind if I join you?
I love this. Oh, Scotty is like losing her mind.
No, literally, because I'm picturing like Florence sitting there like, oh, sir. Oh, my good Lord. Like, how do you keep a straight face?
Well, I think the first couple of times you don't need to. I think you're very much allowed to take the piss and laugh about it. Because, yeah. Because like that's what makes it comfortable,
we were.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, we were. But then we were also like actually getting into it.
Mm, yeah. Oh, I fucking love that shit.
Just making up a little story. He'd be like, I'm out of town, but I'm on a mission to find this gold.
But you know what though? Even that the I'm gonna take your tip, because even the whole thing of like being, you know, laughing at him, being able to take the piss and being able to be in that space. Like, maybe that's my thing. Like, I'm just trying to, like, be a perfectionist. Like, no, I am Galactagon. I don't know what the fuck.
Like some space sci-fi alien thing. That's, I mean, we do the same. We'll have, like, a little dirty joke between us. Mm. And then all of a sudden, like, maybe we say that joke during sex. And then it kind of, like, flows into, like, oh yeah, you fucking like that? Yeah. You're gonna be kind of blah blah blah, and it flows like that. Like, oh my god, I can't even remember. Like some of the shit that you get into in the moment, you're just like, what the fuck? Oh my god, we did like uncle role play, like some fucked up incest stuff, and it was started as a joke, and then turned into like, it's like, yeah, your fucking filthy uncle's gonna come over into your bedroom and blah blah blah, and I was like, oh my god, no, uncle, no, stop. And you know what, like. I am not condoning incest behavior, but when it's in the safe planes of role play, it's all right. And we haven't gone back there since. But in the moment, I was like, yeah, I'm fucking going for this. This is fucking great. Thing is, we say that that's kind of weird, right? Like uncle, niece, role play, whatever. I mean, the amount of stuff that we hear about daddy, dom, little girl role play.
Exactly.
It is so normalized, yet except it's one step over. And that's what disgusting compared to daddy, dom stuff. Like, it's the same fucking shit.
Yeah. But maybe 2 weeks ago, because I've been trying to like get my followers to kind of talk about all their filth and stuff. So I seem more normal. No, I'm joking. But yeah, like, and I was like, you know, like, what kind of porn do you watch and stuff? And the stuff that they were coming out with, a lot of that daddy dom, a lot of the whole incest roleplay. And I think that during part of it, like, I put up like a disclaimer to say, you know, even if you may think like, oh, my kink is weird or whatever, the things I like are really odd. It's like, no, like, literally everybody does all this madness and they may feel weird talking about it. But you are anonymous. Yeah. So say what you want. And they...
say what you want. They go in, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Was it like an instant regret? Like, I didn't want to read that. Like,
no, do you know what? It was so... It was fascinating because I think being in the sexual wellness field, whatever, like, you know, like talking to you lot and stuff, like, we'll be like, oh, yeah, like, uncle roleplay and Westerns. And so it's just normal to us because, like, yeah. But then you're pedestrian people. You know, if you have it like that, like it's a lot more guarded. So to be able to help them create a space where they can say all of the weird shit that someone was like, I like when men fuck food. I was like,
that's so cool.
Wow. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Like, they were really like going for it. I was like, okay, I love this.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Okay, so going back to shame, I found it really interesting what you were saying, Scotty, about the way you felt about giving a blowjob even, and just like the shame that you had felt around that before it had even happened. Could you tell us a little bit more about how you first kind of felt about sex and then the shame that you felt there?
I don't know, because the thing is, around sex in general, I never really had much shame. Like, before I, like, proper, like, got into writing, I was, like, the dirty fanfic girl.
Yeah. Yeah, you
and, like, were. I mean, obviously, I didn't know fuck all about sex, so I would be like, oh, he was, like, coming bucket loads. Nobody comes that much. Like, he's dripping on the floor.
gushing out.
Yeah, so, like, I never had a thing with sex like that, because I would, like, go into, like, Waterstones, like, go into the adult section, like, try to read little Kama Sutra books and stuff.
Oh,
I
amazing.
I wanted to know, and even, you know, late night Channel 5, little blue movies, the ones that you have on Sci-Fi. Do you remember, like, Emmanuel in Space? I don't know if you'd watch that one.
They're really dodgy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember just, like, finding my, like, what am I watching? I'm going to carry on watching. And this is great.
So with sex in general, I never really had that whole thing, the shame around it. It was more specific acts, because if you did this specific act, then it meant that you were this. Mm-hmm. And
did that come from school? It must have come from school, right? Or parents or something?
No, because I think my parents, in terms of, like, speaking to me about sex, it was, my mum didn't speak to me about sex at all. Mm-hmm. But now I just terrorise her with it all the time. Whereas my dad was just kind of like, oh, like, when you do it, just make sure that you're safe. So, like, that was...
Oh, dad, yes. Nice right? one. Yeah.
So, yeah, I never had that sexual stigma so much. But, yeah, it, when it was, like, because I went to a girls' school and... It was like, if you, like, when someone lost their virginity, it's like the whole school knows, like, oh, she's a hoe. She's a hoe. And it was like, it was just a thing. And then it's like, if you did
spread.
Right. And then it's like, if you did certain things, it was like, oh my God, she sucked so and so's dick. Jezzy. And it's like, that was like the worst thing that anyone could say to you. So.
Yeah, it was all those insults, like slut, slag. Mm. I remember people shouting that at me at school, and I was like, I'm a virgin. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Where has this come from? Yeah.
Exactly.
I think I had a fucking rumor. I confided in someone and I was saying that I'd masturbated with my brother's PlayStation controller because you could, you know, when you go into the settings and you could put it on vibrate. My days. When I found that discovery at, like, whatever age I was before I could buy sex toys, I was like, no, Dad, I'm not going to bed. I'm going to sleep in the living room, like, with the PlayStation. You know, I just, like, trying really hard to, like, don't disturb me. Same, it's like, you know, the moment you found your power shower and you suddenly started having hour-long showers? Or, like, in the, right? Okay, so I confided in someone at school and I was like, yeah, so, like, you know, like, no. put your PlayStation controller on vibrate. It's fucking great, right?
I've never heard that in my fucking life.
I mean, it was desperate times, man. Desperate times. I just needed something to vibrate. I tried my phone, but you had to keep pressing the button to make it vibrate.
I just needed that with my phone.
I did try that because, remember, it's Ali G and it's like, finish yourself off. Like, yeah. I did try that because, oh my God. Sorry.
I don't think I could ever come with my phone. I think that was
compose
really hard.
Yourself.
Yeah. But, fuck me. It was PlayStation 1 or PlayStation, no, PlayStation 1 controller. Woo! I told someone at school, and then I'd have all these girls coming up to me like, "Is it true that you fucked a PlayStation? Is it true?" And I was like, "No, I definitely didn't fuck a PlayStation." You know, it was, and of course you freeze up. I should have just been like, "Yeah, man, put it on vibrate. You're missing out a trick." But instead, I was like, "No, I never did that." And just, like, acted so weird about it.
Because
now,
they make you feel like
they make
mad,
you feel weird, right? They do. Yeah. They make you feel like you're the most. I even remember a friend at school when we were talking about masturbating. She was like, "No, I never masturbate," and I was like. Like, shocked. Like, what do you mean you never masturbate?
Everyone lied, though. Oh, like, everyone lied. I don't know what it was.
Shame.
At school and with your friends.
Shame. Well,
yeah. The shame monster.
Everyone lied. I don't masturbate. I was like, but, like, you are missing out. Like, what's wrong with you?
Do you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever spoke about masturbating. Yeah, like, no one in my friendship group. Like, I don't think any of us ever brought it up. And
I don't think,
like,
I
on my
either.
Part, I don't, was it, like, I don't even know if it was shame or something. I just never thought to discuss it.
Not even a concept.
Yeah, like,
it was
the big thing was
like
always going to be
obsession.
Like...
obsession, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you had sex with a boy and then it was, like, something to talk about. But, masturbation, never, because, like, I was masturbating from, like, 12 or something.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was doing it wrong. until the day that I discovered how to do it right.
Oh god, that was
terrible. I was like that episode of Charlotte in Sex and the City when she discovered a rabbit and wouldn't leave the house. Like, it was really bad.
That was you.
It was really bad. But yeah, I remember
that was also
because you know you would like watch porns and stuff, and it was always be about like penetration. So I just thought, okay, so I just stick something up a fanny and that's going to be great. And I remember getting like a fucking HB pencil.
Oh my God, the HB pencil.
A pencil.
Yeah. And I was like,
school
okay.
Pencil.
And I was like, is this what it is? Because this isn't great.
No.
And
I did
yeah.
the same. Large glow sticks like that you get at a rave.
Yeah.
I was fucking myself with one of those long time before I knew what to do.
I tried so many weird objects, like the end of a hairbrush. A deodorant thing.
I tried the deodorant now, and then I thought, what if it sprays in my vagina?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't try. I used like the roll-on ones. You know the ones that like they kind of they start off thin and they go girthy.
Yes. How was that for you?
It didn't really work that well, but it was something.
Yeah, it was just like, I just want to put something in there just so I can get a taste of this land of sex.
Yeah, and then you do it and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, what the hell? I'd rather just go back to like rubbing my panties late at night because that felt better.
I think I did that by accident. So I think maybe I was about 14 by that time. I remember being in this room. And because I used to shave my brother. So I remember being in this room and one day I just put my hand between my legs and I was like rubbing my clit. I'd never done that before. Mm-hmm. But I was like pressing down really hard and I was like, oh my God, this feels great. But I'm like literally like digging my fingers into it.
Ow!
And then I came and I was like, oh my God. So every time I'm masturbating, I'm doing this really hard
really
rubbing.
Hard,
you know the things that we cuss boys for doing? Like, stop bending, it's not fucking DJ dick. Like, I'm doing that to myself. My fanny is bruised as shit. This is in my Charlotte period when I just kept doing it. My fanny is bruised as fuck, but I'm like, no, but I need to come again. Oh my God. I abuse my vagina just to get that orgasm.
I mean, it got so addictive. I think when you first discovered it, it was so addictive.
The addiction. Like, for sure.
This feels great.
Be like,
I'm just going to go upstairs and do this again.
You come around mine after school. Like, no, I'm not. I've got to go home. My mum needs me at home immediately. And then all you do is like run home, run upstairs to your bedroom, and you're just like there for fucking ages. Because also, once you come, you don't know that you can't really come immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Not for a good while. You need to practice at that to multiple come.
But then you get really frustrated because you're like, well, why can't I do it again then? And then
understand.
You end up leaving your bedroom like a bit like hot and flustered, but like not quite finished again.
Wait, I still get like that when I still can't achieve my orgasm. I'm like, I'm doing everything I've done for the past 20 years. Why can you not come for me? And then I get like angry with my wand and I'm like, okay, fine then. We're going to go up full fucking volume and you're just not leaving until you come again. And it's like punishment. But it's still, stop it. I'm actually turning myself on thinking about this, even though it's not actually turned on. Yeah, I'm like, fuck.
I feel like I want to segue into your fuck off story just because I'm really intrigued.
Yes, please.
I got two different. All right. Everyone knows my police story.
Or you could tell us both.
Yeah. I can tell you, but okay, I'll tell you both then because they're like my like Hall of Fame stories.
Yes.
So the first one is my partner and I, we used to go to this like rooftop. This is before I would like let him in my house. He used to go to his room. You have to keep them outside so they don't get comfortable. Right. So, and we were on this rooftop one night and obviously getting a bit touchy-feely, blah, blah, blah. Decided, we're going to go for it. So we're on this rooftop and under the stars, so romantic, touching dicks and sucking things. And
nice.
The windows are all fogged up. But, it's fucking like 2 a.m. Gives a shit.
This is in a car, right?
In a car.
Because
like the rooftop was like it's like a car park thing. And then Tutu's like, we're there. And then see like red and blue flashing lights.
No.
So then he's like, oh, stop, it's the police. I said, why? It's not the police. Looked out, obviously seen the lights. I'm like, oh my God. So now I'm there like scrambling, like, what do I do? Trying to put my shit back on. And he's like, calm down.
Were you naked?
I think I only had like my pants off or something, but it was still like, the fucking police are here.
Still,
you get what I mean? Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, we're gonna go on the sex offenders register. I can't go within 10 miles of a school.
Oh,
so, So yeah, the police guys come on and he's got his flashlight and he's shining it in, because obviously the windows are just fog. He's shining it in the car. I'm like, he knew. My God. I don't know, maybe he thought like we were like doing crack or something. I don't know what it was. So he's like, taps on the window, he's like, wind it down. And my partner is just all calm. And I'm like avoiding eye contact. I'm like looking in my lap. He's like, good evening, officer. And so he's shining the light around the car and he looks around and he looks at us two and he starts laughing. And that, for, I don't know, like obviously like getting in trouble wouldn't have been great, but I just felt so much worse that the police officer started laughing.
Oh no,
he starts off, it's like, look, maybe you lot can't do what you're doing, you know, where you live, but here's not the place. You know, there's apartments directly across from you, you know.
Oh fuck.
It's like, you know, just wrap this up and just go home.
Wrap it up.
And I just wanted to die. I was so embarrassed. So yeah, that's how, like, my first. I wasn't even young. I was like 20.
This is recent.
It's not recent. Maybe it's like 3 years ago. I mean, I'm glad that he thought that I was that young. It's like, oh, you can't have sex in your parents' house. But, but so I was just, oh, God. So there was that.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I love that.
I think my second.
That's so shit though.
It was just really just, why me?
Yeah, you know what I mean? But things could have gone so much worse. Like, it's actually pretty safe that he laughed and was just made a joke out of it and was like, go somewhere else.
Or he could have joined in.
Yeah, be like, have you ever sucked a police dick before? You'd fucking go down there, imagine.
He's like, jeez. I'm not a actual cop, I'm a stripper cop.
Hey, stripper cop. And then, surprise is revealed, your partner's organised a third.
Let's get the party started. You just walked into a dogging site.
She's practicing for her next role play.
Oh my God, stop. Fuck. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, and then I think my second one, and maybe it's not like that mad, but it was my first time going to a sex party.
Ooh,
I went to Torture Garden. My cousins are like, oh, come along. I'm like, okay. So me and my partner went there. It was like their Valentine's Fall. So me, I was like all excited and shit.
That was my
wings.
First one too. Cute.
And they're like the best ones, I think. Like the regular ones, they scare me a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. If you're going to go to a fetish club, go on a themed one, because you can kind of get away with not having all fetish gear. Of course, like, it's a fetish club. You're supposed to be going for the fetish gear. But if you're nervous about it and you don't know how to dress, go for Valentine's Day ball or Halloween or something like that, or like the Christmas one, where you can semi get away with a different kind of costume if you're not into the leather and the latex, you know.
And then I remember, obviously I'm like nervous as shit, so I'm just backing glasses of wine. Oh my God, I'm doing tequila shots. What's the thing? Jaeger bombs and shit.
Jaeger bombs.
Oh, off my fucking face.
Oh no.
Right. End of the night, we're in the couple's room. And obviously, like, to go in there, like, oh, you have to prove that you're a couple. And I was like, what? He's like, kiss. I was like, okay. So we like, he's like, no, really kiss. And so we have to like tongue in front of these people to prove that we're here together. I was like, okay. Yeah. So we've gone in now. And I just remember, I don't remember how we got there, but I just remember being like on one of the platforms and I lost a shoe.
Cinderella story right now. What the fuck?
Yeah. Literally, it was a mess, like right at the end of the night, and like, we're on the floor. And normally, like, I'm very like, eh, that's dirty. So how I ended up on the floor of the couple's room in Torture Garden, that's, oh my God.
Oh no.
And but I still had like my wings on stuff, and I'm getting like my back blown out, like my partner's going, I'm like, yes, yes. And then they come over and they're like, oh my God, like, can we join in? And this is something that my partner and I like discussed before, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that or whatever. So like, he said no, whatever, but I was just still like, oh, like, random people wanted to come and fuck me with you.
Yes. That's so nice that they asked as well. Are you going to ask?
Mm-hmm. And be like, oh my God, she's an angel. She's an angel. And I was like, come on, this is... This is very mad for me. I mean, obviously now it's like, okay, like, this is the standard practice. But yeah, so that's like my other story. It's not as, actually, I should have just kept it to the cop story. Innit?
That's standard practice now. Do you go to sex parties? Have you been to loads of sex parties?
I've been to a few. I want to explore more of them now, like try different ones, because I normally just go to like the Torture Garden ones because I just love the drama of it all. Oh my god,
yeah,
like the costumes and the fire dancers and shit. Oh, I was like, wow. I remember the next time I went there, I was like, I was high as shit. Oh my god, I was freaking out. And then there was this guy and he had like this armor thing on. It's like there was things spike shooting out of his shoulder armor. I said, oh my god, you look really cool. And he's like, well, you look delicious. And he just starts describing to me how he wants to eat my pussy, and we're like at the bar.
What?
Yeah. And I was just like, okay.
That's not good conduct. That's not good sex party conduct. What happened to the asking of the permission?
Well, he didn't actually do it after.
No, I was like, but still, you might not want to hear that.
Yeah, that was weird for me. I was like, no. And then I kind of like stepped doors on both of them. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, oh, okay.
That's like when you're on a dating app and suddenly like the first thing that people start saying is all like the sex chat and like how they want to do you.
And it kind of kills off.
Whoa, man, like.
Give me a chance to like you first.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My mind needs to be turned on. And of course, there's a time and a place for just going in and talking about sex chat, but it's just so dangerous doing it to a stranger. You don't know if what you're saying is just going to gross them the fuck out.
Yeah, he was like, maybe, I bet you taste like ice cream.
Oh, fucking ice cream. What the
fucking
hell?
Fucking ice cream.
All right.
I wish I tasted like ice cream.
I taste like fucking sour off milk, man. Like... I am not a fan of my own flavour. I am really not.
Do you know what? Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you know, like your vaginal taste, right? Like when I'm like normally just like wet and whatever, and like because I like to like dip and, taste it. Yeah, I like to. Sometimes I get really turned on by it, and so like when it's like normal stuff,
that's hot.
Like I'm fine. But then like, after I've come, like, have you noticed that like your vaginal cum that like, doesn't taste like your like wetness, and I just assume that they would just taste the same, but they don't. I hate the taste of fanny cum.
That's so interesting. It's like different like different liquids, different consistencies, and it's the same with like your discharge is going to taste different, or like the lubrication, the secretion, and then when you come, it's like a release of like hormones and chemicals and different stuff in a different way. Same with like squirt juice as well. That will taste different.
I've only squirted like three times. So I've never tasted that.
Yeah.
I've been battling with BV for like over a year now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, so I'm really, really like acutely like on the smell of myself. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm always just like, is there a problem? Do I need to like medicate myself? You know? But recently after I've masturbated and after I had sex the other day, I am like the taste of myself and the smell of myself has gone back to how I used to smell and taste when I was a teenager. Like it's weird. Like I have definitely just my like fluctuation. I'm like, what is that? Because I suddenly had this smell again that I was just like, wow, this smell reminds me of having sex when I like started having sex.
Mm. Nostalgia pussy. Nice.
Nostalgia pussy. It's really, really odd.
That's so interesting.
But I'm always really concerned now about like my smell and my taste with new partners.
Oh my god, yeah. And not just their dick and their fingers, but also their mouths. We forget that like their mouth bacteria could offset our bacteria.
Mm.
So if they're like, I mean, I came to this conclusion. If they're smoking loads, if they're like not brushing their teeth, maybe they drink a lot of alcohol. I don't know. And them eating you out for a long period of time could cause a bacterial issue. Mm. Obviously, same with fingers, you know, if they're not looking after them. And same with the dick as well. And their cum. I got BV the other day because I had cum inside my pussy because I'm now on contraception.
Mm.
And I'm trying to change, trying to see what it's like without condoms. And yeah, I got fully got BV because my vagina was like, excuse me, what? Like incoming. It couldn't deal with like somebody else's stuff. And also it's it really shows where your body's at, where your immune system's at. Like if your immune system's down, you're not going to be fighting off these bacteria infections easily. So something that your vagina would just go, we've been here, like let's sort this, let's get rid of this, all right, done, it can actually take like a long while to sort it out. And then again, if you're having regular sex on top of it, it's not giving it enough time to heal. Of course, like I'm not saying to anyone stop having sex and fun, but yeah, we should be looking after our vajayjay. Oh, And also, fucking the sneaky fucking shit about thrush, right, and other bacterial things that upset vaginas that don't upset dick, is that you could be fucking someone and sort out your thrush or BV and then fuck them again and they've already still got thrush or BV on their dick but without any symptoms, and they could and just give it back to you. And that's such a ball ache. I'm like,
it is, it's so annoying. And I think
that definitely happened with me, my ex, quite a lot, I think.
Yeah, fuck.
And it's like, with what you lot were saying about, you know, being so aware of your scent and your taste and stuff, it's like, you just feel so much more like at odds if it's like, oh, I really hope that this doesn't make you go weird, or oh, I really can't do it today. Like, you, it makes you feel so self-conscious. And like, during sex anyway, there is a level of self-consciousness there anyway that can like make it a bit like harder to orgasm or whatever. Then it's like, when you've got like those worries in your head, it's like, oh,
on top.
What if he thinks my vanity stinks? Or like, like, it's just, oh my God, it's the worst. It's the worst.
It is.
And we don't deserve this.
No one talks about it.
We don't deserve it. Why
no,
doesn't...
We really don't.
Dick doesn't have to deal with, like, all of this shit.
Right?
I mean,
And we don't talk about it enough, I think, because we all go around thinking, like, oh, everyone else is having all the sex and they don't have to deal with these bad issues. Like,
never smells. What the guys... Tastes amazing.
Exactly. Like, you, I feel like we used to hear guys talking about like weird smelling badges and stuff, but they don't really do it anymore. No. So now I'm like, wait, do these guys like never go down on women that like smell or like taste funky?
Or it's a teenage thing, like the age of just being like, yeah, blue waffle, and like like talking about fanny smell. Because I still don't like the way, I like the way that I smell. I don't like the way that I taste. I hate sucking myself off of dick. Like, I'm just a bit like,
Do you think that it's like, when like obviously dicks are like fucking you and stuff, do you think that it changes it? Because it kind of like froths up a bit, and I don't like sucking myself off of a dick
like
either.
A cappuccino.
No, but like literally, because I can stick my finger in myself and oh my God, delectable. Or whatever. And then, but if it's off a dick, and obviously the consistency has changed, like you said, that sour milk taste, like it has that, and I'm like, it's back to me the first time I sucked dick again. I'm like,
I've never thought of that. It could be the dick that's made, because I don't mind tasting myself, but as soon as I'm on a dick, I don't like the taste of it. That's fascinating. Yeah. Oh, never weird. Thought of,
I'm the opposite way around.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you like dick, Fanny?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
You like the pussy cappuccino dick frothy, like.
I love kissing someone after they eat me out, and I like giving head. Like, after the dick's been inside me.
Ah, oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, we think that Florence is all innocent over there. No, she a dirty bitch.
I'm filthy.
Oh, my God. You could do like a barista fantasy next time.
Oh, stop. How much extra froth would you like? And you could have like the got milk tash as well with like all the pussy juice.
This is too much. Okay, well, to round everything up, I feel like, okay, the advice you can give us and our curious fuckers at the end. So how should we be living our best hoe lives?
I think the way that you can live your best hoe life is to be more self-aware. And when I say that, I mean like, examine your thoughts around sex. Like, this is something that I always teach in my workshop. It's like one of the first exercises we'll do before we get into anything. Icebreaker, if you will.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, I love to keep a sex journal. I think that's a great way to do it. You know, you can write down what you liked, what you didn't like, how you think you can improve it, what you want to explore next. And because it's your own journal, you're very honest, you know, because no one's reading this but you. I mean, you can have partnered ones as well. And then I think in terms of like the shame that we feel around sex, look at where you learned that from. Who did you learn it from? A lot of the times when I ask women these questions, you know, I get stuff like, you know, culture or like religion or, you know, maybe their mom or their grandma or their auntie told them this. And I'm like, okay, so when you take on these ideals that they've told you, how does it make you feel? Because that's the thing. Sometimes we don't really examine how we really, really feel about something. We just kind of take it like, that's just the way it is, you know? So examine how it makes you feel. And then after you've done that, ask yourself, like, does it empower you? Or like, how would you like to feel around this stuff? You know what I mean? Like, is the information that you've been taught, how is it serving you? You know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's going to be like my takeaway for the curious fuckers. If you want to live your best whole life, examine the roots of the things that you feel shame around. And know that no matter how weird you think your shit is, there's somebody much fucking weirder than you.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, that's such incredible advice. Thank you so much, my love. Yeah. Like, we have learned a lot. We've laughed a lot during this episode.
Yeah, this has been amazing. So
prime time content. Where can our curious fuckers find you?
All right, so you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Scotty Unfamous. That's UN famous. And if you want to check out all of my content, from books to videos to web series to anything else that I'm going to fucking do, ShakiraScott.com.
Amazing. Yes. I can't wait to hear the book when it finally comes out.
Me too.
It might even inspire some new role play.
Yes. Oh, Galandathor.
Get that fairy action in there. I wanted to fuck a fairy.
Sprinkle some of that fairy dust all over me.
I love how you're going back in your Western accent as well. Like, that fairy dust. Maybe there's got to be some, like, crossover shit, like the Western fairies. Like, woo!
I love God,
oh, well, curious fuckers, this has been an amazing episode. We've had so much fun. And of course, please check Scotty Unfamous out, because her content is incredible, and we need more anti-shamers in this world. So please check her content out.
100%.
Yeah. You can also check us out on Instagram at Come Curious, as well as our personal accounts, Reed Amber X and Florence Bark.
And make sure to leave a review and rate the podcast so that we can spread this message far and wide. I'm curious.
Hey there. We will see you all next Thursday.
See you next Thursday.
Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.